It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Hello again. It is Monday, and we are here on the Patrick Johnson Radio Show, live from the gorgeous Working Man's Beach in southeastern North Carolina. I am merely Patrick Johnson with you here. Wonderful weekend. Pirates get the sweep in baseball. They're up to number 5 in the polls, number 6 in one of the other polls, highest ranking since that really great, I think it was at 03 or 04 team. I'm sure I'll get added for not being sports and hard enough, but you got to go back a couple of decades at least, the last time ECU was ranked this high in the polls. Off the bat here, well, let's say hello to our producer, the one and only Dom Kosolke.
I think we're going to lose.
Dom,
hello,
how are you,
sir?
My friend?
I'm doing great. It's finals week, and we got a busy week here at the station as well.
Yeah, and let me just say this right off the jump. Dom, it's great to have you. I haven't said this to you. I've said it to Pilkington, but you have made tremendous strides here in the last few months, so I'm very happy to commend you on that.
Well, I appreciate it.
And I feel very comfortable with you, and I better because you're going to be here all week.
Yep. So you better like it, Philip, like it or not.
And no, I love it. And I feel badly for you because you've got finals. Dom is a student.
Yep.
Which allows him to speak openly and freely like this.
I think we're going to lose.
And he just does it. He just does it. But
speak your mind.
That's one of the best cuts ever. And so my thing is this, Dom. Study for your exams. Don't worry about this stupid radio show. You need to have great marks out of the semester. So study hard.
Okay. If any mistakes are made, then I'm going to blame it on studying.
As long as you blame it on studying. Philip the Ref Pilkington, a few weeks ago, he had a death in his family. His aunt out in Colorado died, and part of his heading there for the memorial was going to be this couple days off. Well, while Philip was out there, and he did tell me this was a possibility, unfortunately, that his grandmother, who had been in a period of declining health, also passed. So they're going to have the funeral for her at the latter part of the week. It really made no sense for Philip to fly back from Colorado for one day of work and then fly right back out to Colorado. So he's going to be out there all week. But our sincerest condolences to the Pilkington family and to Philip. And we certainly wish him and his family the very, very best. They'll be in our thoughts and prayers during this time. All right. Well, we're back to another week of fun and frivolity. It is a week of Cliff Godwin being on with us today. We'll kick that off. Also in our next segment, our friend Travis Hancock from the WFNZ Morning Show. T-Bone, as he's known out there, is going to talk the Panthers draft with us. He's also going to talk some other Charlotte news in the world of sports going on out there. So looking forward to that. Love having Travis on. He's become a friend in the business and does a great job out there in Charlotte on FNZ. Dom, before we move further through some Pirate news, let's give you a little open mic here to evaluate. Two things I want to get your reaction to off the draft.
Okay.
Dom.
Let's hear it.
How did your Vikings end up doing? Because really, after the first round, I paid no attention to what the Vikings did.
Well, in the first round, I guess you know what we did. We traded up one pick for J.J. McCarthy, but we didn't trade away both of our first-round picks plus next year's first-round pick, and we got our guy, and it seemed like that's kind of what our guy was, unless we were going to get Drake May. We tried for Drake May, didn't get him. It would have been a big haul, and because we didn't get him, we saved more draft picks. And then we traded up to 17 and got arguably the best defender in the draft in Dallas Turner, edge from Alabama. So I am very happy with that first round. And I like that we picked a kicker at some point in the draft because we always have kicking problems. And the Alabama kicker has always been solid, always been, one of the best kickers in college football, and hopefully we got our guy there as well. And we got some depth pieces, some undrafted free agents, some cornerbacks, and more edge rushers, guys that you're not going to know. But I enjoyed our draft. I'd give it a B-plus draft.
Ah, hope springs eternal in the spring. So there you go, Dom. I like it. All right, and then how about your boy Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins getting punked.
I absolutely love it.
By the Atlanta Falcons. What was that about?
I was so surprised. I thought Atlanta was going to choose Dallas Turner, the guy that we got. I cannot believe they chose Penix, and I was very excited about it. The first thing that came to my mind, obviously, was Kirk Cousins and how he reacted, and now they're all trying to play it off like he's going to enjoy mentoring him. He does not enjoy this. He did not want this to happen. This was not planned.
I gotta say this, and he's made a lot of money, but isn't Kirk Cousins isn't he the guy that's just kind of been eternally disgraced? Almost seems like it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He took RG3's spot. You know, it might happen vice versa back to him later in his career.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. It just it seems like the guy's maybe never got his just due. He's been productive. I don't know if he's been a winner necessarily, but he's
put up
fairly
the stats,
productive.
But hasn't really
he's put up some numbers.
He hasn't put up the wins or the playoff wins.
Well, he hasn't always played for the best teams either. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, he had some supporting cast around him in Minnesota, but he hasn't had the best defenses in the world, so I can't blame him for that. I really think last year he was putting up MVP numbers in the first 8 weeks, and if you look at it, he was, and we weren't winning the most game. I think we were 500 when he got injured, but we had taken a corner. We were 1-4 to start it, so I thought it was going to be a very productive season with him, and obviously a season-ending injury, and look where we're at now.
Yeah. Hey, Dom, let's talk about the Pirates. Obviously a great weekend for Cliff Godwin's bunch. They went in without the services of Root and Wyatt Lunsford-Chinkman. We knew Root was likely not to go this weekend, a little bit of a precautionary situation, some rest. We'll hear more from Cliff Godwin coming up on this in a little bit. I don't think we knew when we did the show on Friday that Lunsford-Chinkman was going to be not available, but he was not. And the Pirates were able to persevere, obviously getting the Friday night one out away from a 7-inning no-hitter was huge, and another Treya Savage masterpiece. And we'll talk with Coach Godwin, Stephen Igo, and I will about Trey's performance and then the performance all weekend. The Pirates offensively with four home runs yesterday, and Memphis tried to make a push at him, but held them at bay. Obviously, the Jake Hunter injury is what is most concerning at this point for the Pirates and Pirate Nation. But hey, congrats to ECU. As we mentioned, fifth in the polls, and that's a big deal from D1 baseball. And the Pirates are hot as any team in the country right now, won 14 out of 15 and have won 8 in a row. Big congrats to Pirates softball. They got a sweep at Memphis this weekend too. And I will go back. For the third time in 4 weeks, Yesavage has won the Pitcher of the Week. Carter Cunningham gets the Player of the Week. Carter should probably be the Player of the Year in the American, if we're being honest. Now to softball, which won in a sweep in Memphis and actually had to come back against a Memphis team that had struggled all year. Yet in yesterday's game, ECU with the huge top of the seventh to come away with the victory and the sweep in Memphis, and it was Logan Sutton who got an AAC honor for Coach Shane Winkler's team. So congratulations to her. That's really, really good stuff. The draft, we were talking about it. We'll go through the Panthers draft in some detail with Travis Hancock T-Bone from the WFNZ show coming up. No Pirates got drafted, but several inked undrafted free agent deals. Greenville native South Central alum Jeremy Lewis, who started 54 games or played in 54 games in his Pirate career, inked an undrafted free agent deal with the Jets. So congratulations to Jeremy. He's a great young man, and that's awesome that that worked out for him, and I hope he can latch on with New York. ECU safety Julius Wood, signing a UDFA deal with the Cowboys. I think he's got a great chance to make a roster and at the very least be on a practice squad. And that would be at the very least. I think he's going to probably be in a position to play. Receiver Jalen Johnson signed with the Chargers, and it was a little surprising. ECU football tweeting out that Jarrett Garner, who had transferred in from Duke, a real speedster, had signed as an undrafted free agent with Kansas City. I guess they like his speed. He can really run. Has not a guy that maybe can has caught the most balls in his career, but there you are. Mentioned the Panthers there. We'll go through that. Dave Doran and some other news signing an extension. I think he's now going to be the Wolfpack head coach through 2029, so that's a big deal for Wolfpack Nation. Basketball portal news. They are adding sharp shooting wing Asa Isambuz from St. Bonaventure. Pirates pick up the 6'7 wing out of the portal, known for his perimeter shooting. So he brings a couple things that you need in the American, a guy that shot 42% in the A-10 from three-point territory, made 65 three-point hits last season. He averaged 9 points and 6 rebounds, but he's 6'7". He's long, got long arms, so he can defend on the wing, and that's a nice pickup, the native of Africa for Coach Mike Swartz. And, Dom, I'm on the Carolina, your Carolina Hurricanes bandwagon in the postseason until they lose.
I think you're getting me mixed up with Phillip. I know.
No, he's a Bruins fan, but I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He is a Bruins fan.
I'm on the bandwagon until they lose, and they lost. In fact, this is what I wanted to say Friday when we had LeBlanc on.
I think we're going to lose.
I think that the Canes were going to lose.
Do you think they're going to win the series?
I would have said we at the time. Oh, they'll win the series, okay. And I'll get back on the bandwagon, but I'm firmly off of it right now because I'm actually kind of quasi on it. I'm like a foot on, a foot off.
Well, I'm glad you know you're a bandwagon at least. I mean,
oh, I'm a total bandwagon fan. That's why I always say your Carolina Hurricanes because they're not mine. They're yours until they win, and then I'm on the bandwagon.
If they win, I'm
but
happy.
But they lost. What's that?
If they win, I'm happy. If they lose, I don't care. They're not really my team.
Right.
I mean,
well,
no emotions
not mine
affected.
Unless, they're not mine till the postseason. And then I'm on the bandwagon because it's all the cool kids do.
That's when it's fun.
That's what I mean. Right. And I'm a foot off because they lost in double overtime to the Stinky Isles.
Can't believe they did that.
So we'll see. See if they advance. Only four teams have come back after trailing a series 0-3. Let's hope it doesn't start. All right. We're going to talk the Panthers draft. I got some other Charlotte news to talk in the world of sports with Travis Hancock. He'll be playing hurt today. T-Bone joins us coming up on the Patrick Johnson Show right after this.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
Okay, ready?
You ready?
Streaming to the world at 94.3thegame.com. This is the Patrick Johnson Show. Now in all his glory, here's the P-Man.
Oh, wow. Boy, tough times in Charlotte. I'm just reading Travis's timeline, and apparently there was some officers involved in a shooting or shot today, so certainly our condolences and thoughts and prayers go out to Charlotte. God, that's terrible. Travis, thanks for, one, playing hurt, and two, in what is an obvious tough day in your city, hopping on the line with us here to talk foolishness with me. It seems trite, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a tough day as we're watching a pretty tragic, horrific situation unfold. We just got word about 5 minutes ago that three officers reportedly have perished in today's shooting. So two local and one, I think, of a federal agent, I think, is the report. So, yeah, we know that these things can happen anywhere, anytime, in any part of life at this point, and especially when it comes to officers, and these guys are just serving a warrant, and it turns into one of the more horrific days in Charlotte, at least since I've been here, and certainly all time. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, we had something like that in Greenville 3-4 weeks ago, where a guy fortunately wasn't killed, but the officer was hit in the arm. A guy shot through a door. I think that may have been a hostage situation or a perceived hostage situation. But I mean, it's just, God knows, the people that are first responders, especially in law enforcement, to do what they do, geez. I mean, that's and your shows like mine, you got a lot of people in law enforcement that listen because they're in the car, you know, a lot at times. And So, God, man, well, I hate that. And certainly,
yeah, we've been too, we're getting too used to it in what we do, you know, so many times and so many mornings we have to start our show and we have to put sports to the side and talk about real life situations. And we're getting far too used to this because so many things happen, whether it's mass shootings somewhere in public or a school or something involving law enforcement. So, we're getting way too used to having to do these things, and I'm sure tomorrow in Charlotte there'll be a lot of that as well. Here to deflect, as you are with your show, here to deflect and get into the nonsense of sports and argue about stuff that ultimately doesn't matter, but a lot of times real life intervenes, and that's what's happening right now on the streets of Charlotte in the neighborhood today.
Well, and you guys will be a welcome diversion tomorrow for folks. Yeah, I know you will be. You and Mac. 92.7 FNZ, that's where the great Travis Hancock T-Bone applies his trade. Well, let's just start with the whole beginning of the draft, shall we? And I mean the whole the whole enchilada. Let's start there. And the sandwich shop that has the let the coaches coach and the GM draft, and then Tepper walks in the door. I mean, it's comical.
Oh, yeah.
I asked Zoki on Friday if Panthers employees were banned from eating there.
he's kind of turning into Larry David a little bit, where he's just driving around town and he sees a sign and, you know, he probably goes into, you know, everything turns into something probably more than he anticipates, like the drink thing, you know, probably just happens so fast. The next thing you know, he's a viral sensation. I don't know why. He thought it was a good idea to take the guy's hat off his head. That was a little awkward. I didn't think it was the biggest deal. Like, I thought it was more comical in nature because he does often. He showed up at two of our last three draft parties hanging out. He just shows up sometimes. He showed up in our studio last year, and we were talking about how tall is Bryce Young. He came in and measured my co-host's height and just walked right out. So he does do these kind of comical drop-ins. So I didn't really take it as, you know, the hat thing. I guess the guy had an Eagles hat on, and he probably said, "I get that out of here." So, I mean, I guess it could be kind of a form of bullying, I guess. But I didn't think it was anything where he was coming in looking for a scrap. I think he likes to show up unannounced sometimes, and that's what he did there. And my idea today was the Dilworth Neighborhood Grill, the restaurant that he walked into, they should put up the sign today that says, "Hats off to you, Mr. Tepper. Great weekend." And just finish the deal, right? To go full circle. Yeah, last year, it was the draft day last year. I was sitting in the studio, and all of a sudden, one of our building employees on the maintenance side walked in. And I swear, David Tepper, you know, he does look like a normal guy. I thought it was, because you're not anticipating David Tepper walking into your studio.
Right.
So I thought it was a guy that was there to fix the air conditioner. So I pointed at the wall, and I'm like, oh, that's Mr. Tepper. I know it, because you're not anticipating him coming. So he's with a maintenance guy, and I think, oh, here's the air conditioning guy. Oh, no, it's him, and he's measuring my co-host. Right. And then he looks at me, points at me, and walks out, and I'm like, what just happened here?
That had to be, tell me you all were live when this happened.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. We were in the commercial
break.
This
had to be great. You were in a commercial. I was going to say this. We were in a commercial break,
and I'm just kind of sitting there looking at my notes. And then later that day at our draft party, we're sitting there at this Thomas Davis's Bar and Grill, his restaurant. We're sitting there doing our draft show, and all of a sudden there's a big commotion. And here he comes again. Here comes Tepper again. And he doesn't go on the air a lot, but Bill Polian was on the air. He knows him. So all of a sudden I'm sitting there talking, and Bill Polian's talking to David Tepper, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I'm telling you, he just drops in. He'll do that. We have our little doghouse tailgate broadcasting set up. Sometimes he'll just pop his head in the window, and there he is. So, yeah, so it's not shocking that he did something like that.
How tall is Mac, by the way?
Mac is the same size as Bryce Young.
Okay. How tall are you?
I'm the same size as Bryce Young. We're all about the same. It depends on where you're looking. If you're looking at various, you know, dating websites, and I'm probably more like 6'3", but in reality, I'm more like 5'9". I'm getting shorter, so I was 5'10" for a while, but now I think I'm more 5'9".
No, wait till you get my age. You'll really be, trust me, shrinkage.
It's a thing.
T-Bone is with us from Mac and T-Bone on WFNZ Mornings out in Charlotte. All right, so the Panthers trade up to get Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. Philip Pilkington, my normal producer, says this is them giving up on Mingo. It made sense because of the contract situation, if they really like Leggett. And I know this, he was productive in Columbia.
Yeah, super productive last year, and he had to be because the projected all-conference wideout, Juice Wells, you know, hardly played all year. And you know what? It's crazy the yardage that he put up when he was basically the entire offense. I mean, he and Rattler, it was basically like throw it up and pray. Yeah. And see, if it wasn't for him, they did nothing at all. Like, their running game was terrible. Offensive line was terrible. It's kind of amazing that those two could do what they did. I mean, it wasn't great, but under the circumstances. No, we've had numerous draft people on the last couple weeks, and a bunch said that he's nothing like Mingo, that they're not comparable. And even if they were, he's probably a higher upside guy because he's more
right.
of a – I mean, Leggett, whatever we're calling him at this point in time, he's very versatile. The acceleration in the cross patterns or just on a screen pass, but he goes down the field. He can moss people. Mingo doesn't really have yet that we've seen the real downfield game-breaking ability. It might be there, but it's not there yet. So even if Mingo and him were similar, at this point, do you care if they're similar, or do you just want to get as many good receivers in a room as possible?
Oh yeah, you got to have some weapons. You got to have some weapons for Bryce Young. You got to. I like Jonathan Brooks, the running back out of Texas. What's your read on that?
That's been the one fan one because it's a running back and it's a draft and it's a different age for running backs. I like the player.
Was
a lot.
He the first one taken?
Yeah, and it was the latest a running back went off the board first.
Yeah,
since 2014, and it's the second latest ever. Bishop Sankey went to the Titans in 2014 at 54 in the draft. He was the first one off the board, and then Brooks was the first one coming off an ACL tear in November. But I think that there's a couple of draft choices in this class that you can see where Dan Morgan has the ability to draft more long term and not worry about his job in the immediate, as opposed to Scott Fidwer last year. Because Brooks, you know, you've got Chuba, you still got Sanders under contract for now. So Brooks doesn't have to come in and be a 1,000-yard guy right away. Great if he does, but you've got a little time. Bring him in, ease him in. Maybe by the end of the year, he's the main guy. He was more productive 1 year than Bijan Robinson was his last year at Texas. So you've got him in there, and it feels like, you know, with Chuba Hubbard's a pretty good running back. He's actually one of the more bright spots on the offense. So you let Chuba be the main guy, let Brooks feel his way through. You figure out Miles Sanders. They targeted him, too. Both Leggett and Brooks were guys that we had heard they liked pre-draft. There were visits. There was intel. Mike Garofolo, NFL Network on Friday, said that they're going to get a running back on Friday. So it's not really a lot of mystery. They liked Leggett. They went and got him. Brooks, we kind of knew, hey, we may not be targeting running back in our minds or in mock drafts, but they're targeting Brooks and Benson from Florida State. So I like the fact that they had a plan. They eyed players. They felt that if they wanted to get those guys, they had to make a couple of trades in there that aren't really detrimental to the future. So they really eyed up. But we talked a lot about the wideouts and which one do they like the most, and does it matter between McConkey and Leggett and him? Well, certainly it mattered to them. They targeted XL, X-Man, I don't know what we're calling them right now, and they targeted Brooks, and they went and they found out ways to get their guys.
We're talking to Travis Hancock in Charlotte WFNZ in the mornings. The handful of other picks, they address various needs. Do you see any of those guys being guys that stick or are productive?
Oh, yeah. The pick at 101 might be their best draft choice for value. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, a freak athlete, former five-star recruit that was wanted by Georgia, Notre Dame, all Ohio State, Alabama, all the schools wanted him, and he fits an absolute need. They don't have anyone like him on the roster. They have not addressed tight end at all in the offseason. And again, Tommy Tremble may start the year as the number one, but much like Brooks, over time, you got to figure Sanders is going to be that guy. Now, that is wonderful value. We thought they could get him at 65.
Right.
There's not a lot of tight ends in this class, so the fact they got him at 101, that is a need and a steal, I think, for where they got him at. Now, Sanders is the best value pick of this entire class for them.
Travis, where do you think Carolina needs to address now, you know, through signing guys and what have you from here on out?
Well, one of the storylines is that, you know, J.C. Horn's hurt all the time, and we hope that's not the case. But, you know,
right.
the history says, hey, he's going to miss time. They have not really addressed corner outside of more, you know, depth guys, although Troy Hill was okay last year. Dane Jackson's okay. But the lack of getting a corner in the draft, they didn't go edge, corner, and center, but, you know, you can only they have so many needs. Like, how do you get it all in one draft? So you can't do it all at once. So they're going to try to get by with the centers they have for a year. Then most likely they're picking high again next year. Let's be real. They're not all of a sudden going to pick at 32 next year again because they're good. No, they're going to pick somewhere probably in the top 5, 6 next year in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So they can work on edge. They can work on center. And the lack of a corner, addressing the corner, leads a lot to believe that they've got Stephon Gilmore in the bag. He's been thought to come back, and he's going to take that veteran time here before he signs. But there's a lot of thought that both Clowney, who's here now, is going to get his guy Gilmore back. So they may get by with Stephon Gilmore, and that might be the plan. And like I said, you know, there's so many holes to fix. You can't possibly do all this in one offseason, although they're doing a pretty good job on offense. They've done a lot with the guards
and just,
Deontay Johnson.
There seems like there's a plan now.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, that's refreshing. Last thing, it was reported last week that J.J. Redick was being considered for the head coaching job in Charlotte. Is that where did that come from?
Oh, man, you talking about some radio content going on last week. Oh, jeez. That's on the table. I'm all for it. And, you know, I get accused of my Duke bias. But, no, I think that if people will say he's got no experience, fair point. Can't argue that. The guys that go in coaching the NBA without a lot of experience, you know, it's not a great track record. A lot of guys have to go the assistant route to get where they're going to go. Even Steve Kerr, people bring him up. Well, he had popped there for a while with San Antonio, and then he moved on to TV. Then he went to Golden State. So he's had experience as a coach. But you look at all the times in the last 20 years, they've gone the assistant coach route. It doesn't work out either. So I'm thinking you've got to go the assistant route. It's like we've tried that numerous times. It's not working. I know that Charles Lee's the name from Boston, and he's got coaching experience as an assistant, but there's no guarantee that he's good either. So people want to get on JJ's lack of experience. It's a fair point, but there's no guarantee that Charles Lee is going to come in here and all of a sudden be good. We've seen example after example after example of assistant coaches that also fail. So I'm at the point now where I say, you know what? I think JJ is a brilliant mind. I think offensive basketball, when you hear him talk about it, his knowledge of the game, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt that from a knowledge standpoint, that's the guy. Now, the tough part will be JJ. We know that he can be pretty serious, even though he's on TV. We know that JJ can, I don't know if arrogance is the right word at this point, but like he, maybe sometimes, JJ's got to figure out how to relate to the young players. If he can figure out the personality side and connect with LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, I think he's good to go. But there's no doubt from a knowledge standpoint that guy's got the goods to be something special. He's never done it. He's never really failed at basketball. I don't see why he would coach it.
All right. Of all the Dukies that are on TV, I think he's maybe the best right now. I mean, he's really great on television.
Yep.
And I'm talking Billis, all of them. I mean, he's excellent. All right. Hey, again, our heartfelt condolences to the folks of Charlotte today, where three officers have been killed in a shooting. Travis, thanks for the time. I know you're also a little banged up yourself, so rehab that, get some rest, and we'll talk to you later on.
All right. Thanks for the kind words about Charlotte. You know, we're on different sides of the state, but we're all on the same side. So thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, buddy. See you. Thank you. All right, a timeout. And when we come back, we'll have a update, and then we'll go inside the Pirate Clubhouse with Cliff Godwin here on the Patrick Johnson Show.
ECU baseball completed the sweep over Memphis on Sunday with an 8-3 win. ECU hit four home runs in the victory, with two coming from Carter Cunningham, one from Dixon Williams, and another from Justin Wilcoxon. Carter Cunningham and Trey Savage have been named the American Athletic Conference Player and Pitcher of the Week. Over the course of the weekend and midweek win over NC State, Cunningham went 9-16 with 9 runs scored, 10 RBIs, 5 walks, 3 doubles, and 3 home runs. Savage did his part as well on Friday. He helped shut out Memphis 14-0 during his start and came within one out of East Carolina's third no-hitter of the season. He struck out 12 batters with only one hit and 2 walks. ECU softball completes the sweep of Memphis, and they're now 12-12 in AAC play. They start their next series versus UAB this Friday at 5 in Greenville. In more softball news, infielder Logan Sutton makes the AAC honor roll. NC State's Dave Dolren has been given a contract extension through 2029, and he'll be eligible for $1.35 million in bonuses. The extension comes as he enters his 12th season as head coach of the Wolfpack. The 2024 NFL Draft is in the books, and East Carolina didn't have anyone drafted in this year's NFL Draft, but several Pirates signed as undrafted free agents. Greenville native Jeremy Lewis agrees to an undrafted free agent deal with the New York Jets. ECU safety Julius Wood signing his undrafted free agent deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Receiver Jalen Johnson has signed with the Chargers, while Jarrett Garner has signed an undrafted free agent agreement with Kansas City. The Panthers traded back into the first round to take South Carolina wide receiver Xavier Leggett with the 32nd pick. Carolina also drafted Texas running back Jonathan Brooks, a player the Panthers are hoping can elevate the offense while protecting Bryce Young. The Panthers also drafted help at the linebacker, tight end, cornerback, and defensive tackle positions. And that'll do it for your sports update. We'll be right back after this break on The Patrick Johnson Show.
Download the new IVX Media app now and get the show for your ears and eyes.
Doesn't it look great on me?
This is The Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Pirate baseball on the proverbial roll.
How about them Pirates, baby?
How about them Pirates, baby? Cliff Godwin from many years ago. There he is with us here, Coach Godwin. With Steve and I going myself, and it's great to have Coach with us here. Another tremendous week, Coach, and I was just commenting to Steven a minute ago, boy, it feels like the NC State game was a month ago, but it was one of those last week, and what an environment that was for your team to play in before the home crowd, a record crowd announced at over 6,000 regional, super regional like atmosphere, wild game, and a lot of fun. And the return of Jacob Starling in that one, that might have been one of the great individual performances in Pirate history. So let's start talking about the game with the Pack before we roll into the weekend sweep at Memphis.
It does feel like a while ago, but it was an awesome environment. Our fans were great. We love it. We love to play at home when there's over 6,000 fans there, and they were tremendous. I thought our guys really played well on the pitching side of things. I thought, you know, Richie got us off to a good start. Danny got us out of a jam. And then the guys behind him, Norby and Groller, did a really good job. And offensively, we were able to just continue to tack on runs. And, of course, Star had a huge night. And so happy for him, just because you can imagine how frustrating it is for a senior to be injured when, you know, he really hasn't missed a lot of time at East Carolina because of injury. He broke his leg in the summer after his, you know, freshman year here, and that took him some time to get back. But he's never really missed an extended amount of time at East Carolina from playing. And I'm just so happy because he's worked his tail off with Logan Rupp now, our athletic trainer, and Kevin Youngs to just get back on the field.
Go ahead, Igo.
Hitting for the cycle, Coach, such a, you know, prestigious honor, and it's been 14 years since another ECU player has done it, so a pretty awesome moment. But the return of Star, just in general, it seems to lengthen the lineup so much, and I know Colby Wallace did a great job filling in, but can you just talk about how much it maybe lengthens the lineup with his at-bats from day to day when he's in the middle of that order?
Well, I saw some chatter. It always makes me laugh, you know, when people are like, he just inserted him right into the four hole. Well, that's where he was before he got hurt. And he actually, I think, has swung the bat better because he slowed the game down after the injury, and probably sitting back and watching help as well. But I'm going to be honest with you, I had no idea he was even close to the cycle because I was so entrenched into the game. And he actually wasn't running great towards like the fifth, sixth inning. And we had already had conversations about when we needed to get him out of the game. And I'm just thankful that we didn't take him out before he hit the cycle. But it was close there that we were going to take him out of the game and put somebody else in there just because he wasn't moving as well at the end of the game.
Going 4-0, Coach, obviously not easy, especially when two of your top arms, you know, are unavailable. Give us an update on Zach Root, Wyatt Lunsford, Schenkman. Could they have pitched this week, and kind of what went into to not throwing those guys in the 4-0 week?
No, they couldn't have pitched this week. You know, they're feeling better. But, you know, two different things, kind of. I won't go into specifics, but they're both dealing with some arm soreness. But as you guys know, their careers are way more important than us winning a baseball game. But they're getting all the treatment, physical therapy this week. Us having no midweek game is going to be a huge boost in our arm, so to speak, to let our position players get their feet back underneath them, especially Starr and Riley Johnson. And even JC, I think he's so big that the season wears on his body as well. So getting them off their feet for a couple of days and then letting our pitching rest for a couple of days is going to be key. So Monday and Tuesday, we won't even practice. We'll just lift weights and they'll do a lot of treatments. And then we'll get back on the field on Wednesday and practice Wednesday and Thursday.
Coach, with Schenk and Root, is it kind of a maintenance deal, the best way to term it, or is there any concern that they might, you know, have a longer term deal, or is it more maintenance at this point?
I'm not a doctor. Yeah. So, you know, at this point, we feel okay about them coming back this year. For me to say 100%, I couldn't tell you that. So we're taking it day by day. But those guys will be seen by the best here and evaluated at a higher level since we're back at home and not on the road. And we'll continue to help them. But, you know, like I said, it's day to day.
And then I've gotten, you know, a lot of questions about Jake Hunter, obviously, too, leaving yesterday's game. Can you just provide an update there, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously when you see that as a coach of one of our players, it's, you know, scary. The fans, you know, scary for them, too. And, you know, I've had a few conversations with Jake after the game. And the thing that comes to mind with me, and you know, everybody thinks the worst, and it could be the worst. I don't know. I don't have the crystal ball, but. You know, Gavin Williams in 2018, he's throwing 100 miles an hour in Durham, and he's doing it while he's slide stepping. And I think he threw like his 35th, 36th pitch of the outing, and I think it was a ground ball, and he walked off the field crying, holding his arm. Well, of course, my mind went straight to, okay, he's just torn his UCL. But it was a flexor strain, and he was able to come back a month or 5 weeks later. And actually aggravated him again at some point in time that season. So we're going to pray for the best. Obviously, I can't see Jake. I don't think he will be able to pick up a baseball this week. And but we'll be getting him seen with our doctors and imaging and all that good stuff. And we'll be right there with him regardless of the outcome.
Pirate head coach Cliff Godwin is with us. Nice bounce back weekend for Danny Beal, who continues to be a stalwart for you out of the pen.
Yeah, Danny was tremendous on Saturday. We knew Grohler couldn't go, you know, too long after throwing two innings on Tuesday against State to close out the game. And then Danny was just tremendous for six innings, I think it was, and only gave up a solo homer. Of course, with Root and Schenk not being available, it lengthened our bullpen as far as, you know, yesterday we could go to several different guys that hadn't been used yet. So that was a good thing.
And Chris Kaler was one of those guys looked at times. He's had some pretty electric outings. Looked really good for you this weekend.
He was really good yesterday. Really good. You know, I think he went four innings somewhere around there and gave up, you know, a solo home run, which by that time our offense had, you know, extended the lead. So that was really good. And, you know, I didn't think we were very good offensively at the beginning of the game. I thought their guy did a good job against us. Of course, we had to overcome a call of obstruction or whatever you want to call it with Bristol that cost us a run. But at the end of the day, our guys made their own breaks and were able to come out with a sweep with two of our best arms down, which is really impressive. And I told them how proud of the pitching staff I was this weekend of just next man up mentality. And nobody's going to feel sorry for East Carolina Pirates, I can tell you, with a couple of injuries, because they all want to beat us. But our guys did a great job.
Before we get into maybe some of the individual numbers offensively, and Igo starts peppering you with the probing questions, as he's apt to do, you know, the thing, just on the whole, the defense this year, I mean, there's been some spectacular plays and some great individual efforts, but, you know, just the emphasis that's been put on defense, when you ask pitchers or even guys that play behind the pitchers about it, they're very quick to talk about Coach Palumbo and all the coaches and how much that is worked on. So, you know, until it's something is committed, like an error or something, nobody ever really thinks about it. But I mean, a lot of work has gone into guys improving, but also that defense being as solid as it's been this season.
Yeah, it makes my skin crawl when, you know, you're not good defensively, because you can control that. You know, you feel like pitching and defense is something that you can control on most days. I mean, it's more of an offensive game now than it was 10 years ago, but Jeff has put together great defensive teams his entire, you know, career here at East Carolina, but we all take pride in it. You know, even Coach Knight, Coach Lartigue, you know, everybody on our staff, because we know we can always, you know, handle that. I think Joey Barini has played spectacular at shortstop, maybe even a tick better than I thought he would ever be able to do. And some of the plays he's been able to make, a lot of the credit goes to Coach Palumbo, but Dixon Williams at third base or second, Star, of course, Carter Cunningham made some really good picks this weekend. Of course, J-Dub caught all weekend. Ryan fouled a ball off his foot, so we didn't think he could catch on Saturday, which he had a good offensive day. He just couldn't get back there and catch and back up first base and stuff. So, and then the outfield defense has been really good as well. Bristol Carter, Riley Johnson, J.C., Nowak when he's out there. So really proud that our guys take pride in it, because defense does win championships. You're not always going to score 14 runs, and you got to be able to take care of the baseball and eliminate free 90s from the other team. And our guys, for the most part this year, have done a really good job of that.
Coach, 13-6 true road record now through 19 road games, just three road games left at Tulane later on. I think 7-1 in the last eight road games. What do you feel like has gone into the road success for you guys this year?
I just think our guys have been really mature about their business. And we talk about playing for a championship every day, because you are in some capacity, whether we're playing a midweek game or not, to reach the goals we want to reach. You have to play your best brand of baseball every single day. I mean, you guys look across the country, and if you play bad, you're going to get beat. And sometimes when you play good, you get beat when you play good teams. So you have to go out there and play and perform at a high level and execute what you're trying to execute. And our guys have had a lot of focus, and there's not been many days when they didn't look like they were mentally engaged in what we were doing that day.
Trey is savage. Cliff, I don't know what, you know, more we can say about him at this point. He almost throws another shortened seven-inning no-hitter, obviously one out away. And just what did you see from Trey in Memphis on Friday night?
Well, we really didn't want to run him back out there. We were going to keep him, I think it was at 85 pitches before the seventh inning. And AK goes down to talk to him, and he said, "Trey won't let me take him out of the game." I said, "Well, all right, well, if he gives up a hit, we're taking him out of the game." And, of course, he walked a guy in that inning, and I think it was I can't remember who the kid was. It wasn't Compton. It was a right-handed batter, but he's, like, fouling off pitches. And then AK was just trying to get a first pitch out, you know, throwing a fastball to the guy that ended up getting the hit. And I go to the mound to take him out, and he's like, "Coach, I got this." I said, "I know you got it, but you're coming out of the game, so we're going to somebody else, because you're over 100 pitches tonight." So, which we kind of laughed about. I said, "There'll be a time when I leave you out here, but not today." So, you know, went to D'Lo, and D'Lo was able to secure the shutout, which was awesome.
I feel like Justin.
Great stuff there from Cliff Godwin. Thanks. Dom, we're a little early, so you don't. We can jump off the bed there. Sorry, I gave you the wrong item. I didn't realize the time there. That entire interview is posted on our social media, so if you'll go to 94.3 The Game, we'll do that. Again, Cliff Godwin saying he can't say 100%, but day to day is what Schenck and Root, where they are right now, Wyatt Lunsford Schenckman and Zach Root. They're going to continue to help them, and they will get evaluated at a little bigger level because they are on the road. So that tells you something there as far as perhaps the extent of what they are going through at the moment. Day to day is what he said. And for Hunter, imaging and testing will be done in the coming days to determine the extent of the injury. There is fear it could be a long-term injury. We'll see. We will see. Until all those evaluations come in, you really can't make a decision on how that'll go. We're going to have Jonathan Wagner on with us tomorrow from On Three Sports, talking baseball and where he thinks the Pirates could end up falling as a national seed. Again, right now, number 5 in the nation, and they are number 6 in the other poll for Baseball America, and 8 in a row. No team is hotter right now in the realm of college baseball. But the concern, as it always is, no matter what, is pitching and the health of your pitching. And those are 3 big arms that were not available against Memphis. And there's some tough games down the stretch. You got a road series still. There's a lot there. Rice is coming off beating UTSA 2 out of 3. That's who the Pirates close with. So, I mean, there's still a lot of high-level baseball to be played. Thanks to Travis Hancock T-Bone from FNZ being on with us today. Thanks to Cliff Godwin. Thanks to Dom Kosolke. Great job producing. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Patrick Johnson Show. So I'll see you then at 5 o'clock and then back in the morning on Talk of the Town at 7 a.m. on Talk 103.7 and Talk 96.3. All our shows available in podcast form and video podcast form on the IBX Media app, which is free for download on Google Play and the App Store. Have a great rest of your evening, everybody.